Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
So glad you all are here for readings and for our discussion today. We're talking about geographical karma here. And we're going to get started in just a moment. But of course, I want to invite everybody to join us on Blog Talk Radio. Follow us. Join us on our social media networks, Facebook and Twitter. And what else? Anything else?
You
know,
well, you
I'm kind of sleepy.
Oh. You were Snow White. I didn't know you were one of the dwarfs.
I thought you did think I was one of the dwarfs originally. Remember?
Yeah, you did. I did.
Our first conversation.
Yeah. Well, things change. Roles change.
Now I'm Snow White. Well, that's okay. People probably don't know what we're talking about, but what was it? The first time Neil and I spoke was on a radio show where the host after my call said she was happy, and you said, "Oh, one of the seven dwarfs." So
that's right.
That's what I'm referring to. But I think that's it. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for a further discussion on which our radio show can accommodate. But the reason that we are discussing geographical karma today is a story in the news that I think it was earlier this week. It was regarding a tourist in Granada, a woman who had traveled there with her husband. Actually, they were newlyweds in their late 30s. Well, she was in her late 30s, 39 years old. I think he was older than her. Both physicians. He was a doctor. He is a doctor. She was an anesthesiologist. And following their arrival in Granada to a famous luxury resort there, the following day they embarked on a walk on the beach, and apparently a convict had escaped from a prison there and was hiding, I guess, in the bushes, and ended up attacking her with a knife and dragging her off. The husband went to get help, and they ended up finding her murdered and raped, actually. So it's really a tragic story. Unfortunately, Neil, I don't have the birth date for this woman. And I've done some searching. Unfortunately, there's nothing available that indicates her birth date. But perhaps when the funeral announcement is available, I'm going to take a look again. Usually that's included, and perhaps we can discuss that on Friday's show. But what came up, of course, we were discussing the element of karma for this woman. Was this a karma of location, which caused her to perish? Was this a destiny line that she couldn't avoid? You know, sometimes these events, an untimely death, will be caused by maybe a demon that's in the energy field. So there are a lot of different reasons, but the first thing that came up, of course, was the karma of this location for her, because she seemed to be flourishing in her life before, and she was a seasoned traveler, it might be noted. I think they met in a travel group, she and her husband, again, only married for a year, so a very tragic story. But...
yeah. Well, there's many reasons when we apply the laws of karma to geography or location, there's many things to consider: past life agenda, and how that's connected to certain laws of karma in terms of past life transgressions that are following us, whether we have a certain energy in a certain location of the planet where we have produced a certain amount of karma. That's certainly one one area to consider when whenever there is on one part an act of aggression or danger or violence that occurs in a certain part of the planet, as opposed to an act of blessing, something of good fortune. You meet somebody, you win money, you do something happens. So the geography and karma are interconnected. How that applies to fate or destiny is a whole different subtopic, because the attitude can be that you've come back, if you've come back to the planet to meet your fate or your destiny at a certain point in time, in a certain location, then certainly that we can avoid it. We're doomed. I don't know if the birth date if a birth date necessarily reveals that, but sometimes in the act of participation of analyzing a person's birth date, I personally can get a vibe or a feel of such events if they are indeed even visible within the mind frame of the third eye and perception. I can at times connect to that. However, a birth date all by itself doesn't necessarily indicate a destiny or a location of karma. You have to go deep into a birth date and really analyze its content, and then correspond that with the attitude of how good a psychic one is to make the certain connections, or who they're talking to from above that supplies the information. But all of that is a combination of energy. The idea, though, that geography and location is synonymous with karma is still, to me, a very active connection.
And in this case, I mean, the assumption would be that probably, I mean, without a birth date, it's hard to tell. And I don't think you've done an extensive amount of psychic investigation of this case.
Not in this one. But I've done other investigations into other locations and karma and whatnot, that I felt the energy happened before it happened, or after the event, started to tie numbers and such things together to see what is going on. Yeah, you're dealing with really two things. One, you're dealing with time, which is history. But you know, as we know, history doesn't start with the day we're born. History starts way back in time. And if you in the attitude of history, then the journey of the soul has produced its own history, as well as our own life producing a history. Then what you're dealing with in terms of space, which is geography. So we're dealing with time and space. Time, history, space, geography. And when we put those two elements together and we tie them into the world of karma, then there can be immediate attitudes and conclusions and outcomes that can almost be predicted, if not analyzed after the fact. You know, after all, you know, we're living, the world has changed now. We're living in a very closely connected world where everyone knows what everyone is doing as they are doing it. They're texting. I mean, we never had this before. We might have had the phone, but even then, I mean, that was limited. Now we just can record what we're doing at the time that we're doing it. So every day brings the immediacy of karma into place. And we can actually film events as they are occurring and send them via...
Right. I mean, you can live feed them onto your websites or on social media sites.
Yeah. So we have produced a different consciousness in terms of the availability of who we are at any given time on the planet, operating under any set of circumstances at any given time on the planet. So we've got that energy going on now. And when we combine that with history and geography of karma, every scene that we are in has a kind of connected of cause and effect with that intervening variable of what our actions are within the process of cause and effect. So we're just not puppets into things. There is that active element of who we are as human beings, of course. We don't want to neglect that. But what we're also dealing with is how far back in time do we go to where we find a connection to certain events on the planet? And for that matter, certain locations on our planet are geographically in time and space conditioned to karma. We have areas that are more dangerous than others. We have areas that are more prone to natural disasters. Why is that? Does the planet itself hold karma and certain locations hold karma? Well, I think obviously it does. If you're going to put an explanation to it, karmic situations and karma energy regarding the planet is just as legitimate as anything else, because, you know, we're dealing with third world, we're dealing with different cultures and populations and attitudes and laws and whatnot. So all of that to me is produced by a series of karma. Now, we in our own individual lifetimes, we may be connected in our prehistory to certain parts of the world that have nothing to do with our bloodline today.
Which is why a lot of people will ask you, Neil, when they're traveling, when they plan to go on vacation or whether they're going somewhere on business, if it's safe to travel to a specific location, because the shadows of past lives can lurk in our present lives, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was dealing with a client today, just in terms of location, up in the mountains and in mountainous area in California. And she was a victim of stealth. Her car was broken into. And I mentioned the word backpack. That was something about the backpack being safe. And she said it wasn't even touched. The car was broken into, equipment was taken, but my backpack wasn't even touched. Now, you know, even to the fine point of detailing the energy level of what might be karmic. Indeed, this particular client will oftentimes call me and ask about, is it safe to travel? Is it safe to do this? Is it safe to do that? And those are legitimate questions to a psychic.
Well, we actually discussed this the other day when we were talking about the radio show, that was this coming radio show. And I had asked for a client, because not everybody is going to ask about travel. Not every client does. And some people do travel, and that's not at the forefront of their minds when they're discussing their lives with you. But for some people, it is. And I was wondering, is that a karmic situation? Is there some kind of subconscious awareness, something that occurred in a past life, where they may have traveled somewhere and met an untimely death or circumstances that forever altered that lifetime?
Yeah. I mean, I think that we as individuals sometimes hold within our consciousness the notion that it isn't safe to travel. I don't feel good about this place. We have within our subconsciousness a certain awareness that can at least give us an intuitive or gut feeling. Others would just go in without any notion at all. This woman who just jumped off the bridge.
That's right. I don't even know where it is. I didn't read the article. I just saw the headline, but she died,
Big
right?
Big Sur somewhere.
Big Sur, that's right.
She made a successful jump. She landed in the water, and the ocean took her, apparently. She drowned. Parachute got entangled. It dragged her down, and she died. Is that destined? I mean, if she had called me up and she said, my jump be successful, I might have said, your jump might have been successful, but not your landing, you know? Does the ocean claim, and we have to look at the fine details as to what really is the attitude of karma when you're in a certain place. So how do some people escape a disaster? Some people are more prone to disaster. All of this is built into the history of our connection to a certain, not only a certain part of the planet, but a certain energy field that we produce while we're on that planet. Let's say that couple that were walking on the beach. What if someone had said in the hotel, don't, you know, it's not safe to walk. You need to hire
somebody. Or warned them that someone had recently escaped from a prison that was close by.
So that means that the surrounding people are in our environment are karmically connected to us. She didn't know this guy who was lurking apparently in the shrubbery. So, but there had to have been a connection between them. So it's not just location, it's human inner energy. That is also part of the karma of a location. They all sort of play into each other. If there's going to be something in terms of violence or suffering or some fatality.
Right. And we've discussed on previous shows that the karmic location doesn't always lead to death necessarily, but someone can live in a specific area for an entire lifetime and have great difficulty actualizing their lives, getting work, getting a relationship. And sometimes that lack of development can result from the sheer connection to the location that they're living. Not necessarily, and it may not necessarily end in some kind of tragedy, but just the sheer result of not being able to live a full life because of the location is a pretty dark energy.
Well, location plays a lot into the aspect of how our lives are going to be defined. I mean, some people can actualize themselves staying in one location, never leave it. I think it was Emily Dickinson who didn't travel much. There are a lot of people that did not really leave their home. In fact, their good karma is involved in their immediate environment. Others need to release themselves and transcend their environment and get out into the world and find the soul energy and soul destiny of their future. So I think it's a process of, got to excuse that phone. We've got our telephone going.
That's right.
So we have to look at that and we have to be aware of our own awareness in terms of certain locations of the planet. Some of us feel compelled. I've got a lot of clients who feel very compelled about certain areas of the world, Italy, France. Oh, I've got an affinity with this place or that place, and I've always wanted to go there. And there's really nothing in their immediate life to make it.
Right, like they don't have any heritage.
Nothing in the family.
Right.
That's tapping into your own soul energy. Now, a good exercise to do is to if you feel inclined to have a connection to a certain geographical area, study that area before you go to bed. Look at it, look at pictures of it, and let your astral body release itself during the night with that conscious state involved. And see if you have any dreams that might pertain to that location and write them down. That's a good way of analyzing from the depth of the subconsciousness into something higher up on the plane of consciousness in terms of what your past life energy may have been with that certain location.
You know, I just a quick story before we get to our callers. When I traveled to Amsterdam many years ago, I actually on my second day got onto public transit stupidly with my money in my open purse. Not smart. Now I was robbed. Passports, credit cards, cash was taken because that money belt was hanging out of my purse. Now, was that just my stupidity or what was that? Do you think a darker karma I have in that area?
I mean, maybe sometimes stupidity.
That was, I was
karma.
Really stupid.
Sometimes a lot of our worst mistakes are made in moments of stupidity, but the aspect of stupidity is the lapse of consciousness. It's really a lapse of consciousness, and lapse of consciousness can pertain to a certain element of one of our past life deaths that were premature in energy.
Mm-hmm.
So if, let's say you died when you were 27 and you died, you actually motivated your own death through carelessness, that energy can come back and greet us in any specific location, even in junction with the time zone of with that age and who you are today at that age. So a lot of that is interconnected. The history and the study of karma is a deep, deep topic, but very interesting when you pertain it to a certain location on the planet, more or less on a worldly basis.
Well, it was my first trip, real trip outside the United States. That was my first trip. So, other than Mexico, Tijuana, but it made me a lot smarter for my future travels in terms of taking care of my possessions. When traveling around, that's for sure. So, okay, let's take some callers, Neil. Shall we?
Okay.
Hi, 509, you're on the air. Hi, who's that?
Hi, Christine. Hi, Neil. This is Erica.
Oh, hi, Erica.
So, hi. Oh, shoot. I just realized my floor is wet. Oh, okay.
Oh, no. You want us to put you on hold? We can take another caller first if you need to clean something up, and I can bring you back on.
No, it's fine. It was just like a little tile piece. But
can I get your birthday again? Can I get your birthday again?
12/04/1993.
Okay, but don't say that O, the zero and the 04. It's just say 12/04 because the zero creates an energy which you don't probably want. 12/04/1993.
Okay.
5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
17, 12, and she's 29, 11, 2. Okay, go ahead with your question.
Okay, so I graduate with my bachelor's, hopefully if everything goes well, this fall. And so now I'm thinking about how am I going to pay for law school. You know, I was thinking about taking a break, a year break, and then just like working so I can save up for law school. But now, it was just an idea that I came up with today. Why don't I join like the Air Force and like, you don't have to get, like, a job out in, like, battle or anything. Like, it depends on how you score. And I could probably get something, like administrative, like, in the office or just whatever. Because that apparently pays for your law school.
Right, they give you educational grants. Yeah.
Yeah, the DI bill.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it's a very structured environment, and you have to get through boot camp, right?
Yeah.
Yikes.
I don't know, Erica. I mean, it's one financial channel you can go through for aid and things, but it seems to me that it's also a very long detour with a lot of commitment involved. And to go into the Air Force for the sake of aiding your education, I mean, there may be something practical behind that, but you're also diverting yourself from the actual topic of what you want to do. You want to go into law school, so that you have other options aside from the Air Force. I mean, the Air Force is viable, but you could get a job. There's so many other things you can do to stay in the midst of your more immediate environment. I'm not getting a good vibe about it.
Oh, really?
No, I'm not getting a good vibe about it, but that's not... You know, when that happens, Erica, there might be, I don't have a lot of time on the radio to investigate, but there mm-hmm. might be a lot, there might be something karmically I'm not comfortable with in terms of this, that my logic is kind of getting in the way. I have no opposition to people joining the Air, so I don't, the Air Forces or the Air Force or the military, I have mm-hmm. nothing, you know, there's no biasness I have. There's nothing about that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's not, I'm not basing it on my own prejudice or mm-hmm. or ideas. If I felt it was, yeah. if it was a good thing, I would say, go ahead and do it. But I'm not feeling it's the right thing. There, you've got to look at other options. And I would say that you're going to be in law, stay within the concept of law, work hard, you know, work in a law firm, get in the environment. You're going so far
away.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking getting a job within my career field. Like, I wasn't going to settle for anything less because oftentimes, like, the owner of the firm can like you enough and then offer you, like, oh, I'll pay for your law school, you know, as long as you work for me and or things like that.
Mm-hmm. That's what I
Or even think. Getting, like, a government job where I can also get benefits. But I was just thinking, like, the Air Force would be, like, a quick and easy option for me. And I was hesitant because it's 3 years. Like, you know, I want to be a young attorney and, like, hopefully judge. And that's the thing about me. Like, I just want to be young, you know. I don't want to be old.
Yeah.
So in those 3 years, I finished law school.
I can't recommend the Air Force. I stay within the law firm, get a job there, work your way through, you know, get experience. Get to know people, make contacts. That's my advice to you right now.
Yeah, because I've been applying for internships, and I recently applied for another one in D.C., but it doesn't seem to be working. Like, I'm not getting the opportunities I want, and I'm just like a student, you know? I haven't even graduated yet. So,
yeah,
like, that's really frustrating.
keep putting your feelers out. Unfortunately, Erica, it's all we have time for today because we've got so many callers. But, keep us posted and let us know, you know, what transpires. Mm-hmm. But hopefully that helps to maybe put that idea, shelf the idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Actually, I considered, it's funny she mentions that because I considered at one time in a creative field doing a military job in a creative field. And I had people in that were my friends and family actually laughing at me and saying, Kristen, you are not the right person. You would never get through boot camp.
Yeah.
Because there are good opportunities. But I'm anti-military anyway. But, you know, when you are looking for steady work and housing, they're really good for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 770 is our next caller.
Hi, Kristen. Hi, Neil.
Oh,
this is Maddie.
Hi, Maddie.
Hi.
You're a 27-9, I believe, but I don't have your birthday right in front of me.
Yeah, I am a 27-9, 1745, but I wanted to call about a young lad. His birthday is 9/19/2006.
Okay. And what's the question? Is this a relative?
No, this is a grandson, yes. I'm a little concerned about him because it seems like he's, I don't know, they label him as having ADHD, but I don't know if he's depressed or does he need more consistency in his life or what.
Yeah.
So,
is he being medicated for ADHD?
No, he's not.
That's good.
No, he's not. I spoke to my daughter about that and said, please don't do that.
I agree with you. I mean, the things that they put kids on, like speed, it's not good.
No, yeah. It's not. No.
Well, is this your grandson?
Yes.
Okay, so you have both had the same master number, 27 equals 9. It's the same.
10.
Your grandson is right now, as we speak, at the first multiple of his 9 years. 9, and he's 9 years old, so he's completed the first cycle. Now, in
mm-hmm.
his karma, he's going to be dropping from a 9 to a 1. He's 9/19, so it goes from 9 to 1. That happens to be his master number. So there's a drop. So what's happening at the age of 9 is he's dropping via past life into a different zone of life that he is re-experiencing from a past life energy, even though he's in his young body today. He's still going through past life journey stuff until the age of 27, significantly. I think that results in a past life where he had an alcoholic father. Now, is there any alcohol in this family history, any father problems?
No, his father not an alcoholic, his mother not an alcoholic, and I'm not an alcoholic, you know, so...
Yeah.
No.
This comes from a past life. I just want to know if it was resurfacing again in significant attitude. Is the family zone real tight, or is the mother and father real close?
No.
Yeah.
They're not.
So they're not. So
it's like they live in different houses.
Yeah. So that's where how the journey of this young boy's consciousness has traveled to where in this lifetime the energy has been converted into a dysfunction in the family, a separation of mother and father in different locations, and that's resulted in the young boy having some learning difficulties, attacked by emotion and uncertainty. The boy is really quite intelligent, but this is again geographical karma. The geographical karma surrounding this young boy has gotten in the way of the business of his learning capacity, and he's being held back in his emotions because he's traumatized to some extent. Now, unlike other young boys, they might not have this problem, but this child is very sensitive and does, and there needs to be some immediate intervention with a good constant male figure who is very intelligent, very compassionate, who can guide this young boy along in life, especially around this age. So he needs a special tutoring. And it needs to be done with somebody who has the insight to know that this little boy is really, this young man is really intelligent and sensitive and artistic. And that his problems are due to environment, however karmic. And that's going to actually cloud his intellect. So it will seem like he's a little backward, when in fact, he really isn't, Maddie. So
I felt that. I also felt that, Neil. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's where we got to be. That's all we have time for, but I hope that helped.
Oh, yes. That helped a hell of a lot. So tutoring. Yeah. That's exactly what I had mentioned to my daughter. Get a big brother that could tutor him.
Perfect.
He is the only child. I said, he need a big brother that can
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you say tutor. Okay. Someone who's very intelligent that can really guide and direct him.
That's it.
That's perfect.
And let us know how it progresses. And you know what's really interesting is we're ending on this call with 27 minutes left in the show, which is both your master numbers. Isn't that coincidental? Okay,
thank you.
Maddie, take care.
Thank you so kindly.
You're welcome. Okay. 252 area code is our next. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Keisha. How you guys doing?
Oh, hi, Keisha.
I'm fine. Okay, I would like to know if I put in the application for this particular job, do you see me getting it?
It's what's your birthday again?
Position.
Can you give me your birthday? I should have it memorized, but right now
12977.
12977, birthday coming up in 2 days. Happy birthday, 9, 10, 11, 12, 22.
Oh, wow, you just reminded me. Okay.
Yeah, we like to forget as we age, right?
Yes, it's nothing.
So a job coming up, Neil.
Yeah.
Let's see, you are 30.
I'll be 39.
Yeah.
3 years passed.
Let me ask you something, Keisha. In your past, have you held down a job for a duration of 3 years in any one job?
I've never done that.
This is going to be tough for this one coming up. It's going to take a prayer. It's not in your destiny to have the job. And it's not an immediate yes. So what it takes is a little bit of persuasion from the higher realms, if you will, to maybe get this job down for you. Because right
now, am I supposed to be unemployed for the rest of my life? I mean, is that my karma?
That's not it at all.
No. What I'm doing is contrary to that. I'm trying to figure out karmically and psychically a way to get you the job, not to not get you the job. So there's a little bit of difficulty in there. Why am I picking up two females? Do you have two sisters? Do you have two siblings?
They could be the aunts or my mother and my sister or the aunts. I have a bunch of female aunts, a bunch of female cousins. It could be anything. But those are the closest ones, the aunts and the mother and the sister.
I understand. So what is this job for? What kind of work?
Oh, just data entry.
Data entry?
Nothing too difficult.
Okay. So I got it. What I'm going to do, the best thing I can do for you on the radio is to put out a kind of promotional prayer that you get this job. Sometimes that works. If you do get it, I'm seeing March as the a really significant month of employment.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. That might mean that in March you're already working there and it's going to be your first full month. So that might, where that might apply is in March. I can't say verbatim that you're going to get the job. What I'm saying to you today, Keisha, is I'm putting out energy that you will get it. I'm asking for some kind of higher energy intervention that the job will come into play. And that's usually what I do when I'm sort of in an ambiguous situation like this. So I'll put it out for March. that you're already employed and that's your first full month of employment. Real quick, any birthdays in March or May in the family?
I think my father's in March, and in May, like, you know, they're Geminis. It's a whole bunch of people, bunch of guys.
Okay, well, let's see how it goes. That's what I can do for you on the radio today, but it still has content and purpose in it, and that might help. Short of just giving you a direct answer, that's where we have to go when we're in a situation like this.
Okay.
Right.
Keisha, good luck.
Thanks.
Let us know. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye. Okay. 780 is our next caller. Neil. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Ustaz.
My name is Naomi.
Hi, Naomi. Naomi,
you
where are
birth?
You calling? We need your
I'm
birthday.
I'm calling from Canada, Edmonton.
Okay.
Alberta. I'm just calling about jobs and about possible.
Okay, and your birthday, please?
It's February 9th, 1973.
Have we spoken with you before? I can't remember.
Yeah, I've called before.
Yeah, okay. I thought so, but I wasn't sure. She's a pretty one. Okay, so jobs. And I think this is what you asked about before, right?
Maybe love, maybe jobs. I switch it up. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you know, Naomi, I'm getting...
Naomi or Naomi?
Naomi.
Naomi.
Naomi. Well, Naomi, I'm getting you working. Okay, so that's coming. I'm getting you having a job. There seems to be some, I don't know, there's something to do remotely with children or younger people in this job. Now, I say the word remotely.
Okay.
So
the job
I'm trying
to apply right now is like working in an office for the child and youth advocate.
Well, that's
so
that's
the children wouldn't necessarily be there, but it'd be like I'm a teacher normally, but I'm trying to do an admin job now or trying to apply for one. So I don't know if I
right.
hope to get it, but I don't know.
But it's connected to children, so that would be a
yeah. And children may come in and out, but it'd be helping with
well, it's child advocate. So the whole
yeah.
umbrella is children. So
yeah, I said directly, indirectly, remotely. So because I can't recall what kind of work you did, I wouldn't remember
right.
that.
I don't think I knew.
So that's a good sign because I'm getting
yeah.
a child behind it remotely, a child. It's child advocate. You are a teacher. So this is a, I would say we're 80% to our way of getting it. So I'm feeling
okay.
pretty confident, not 100, but confident enough to take it up to that level. The connection I made with the child is strong. That's a good indication. So right now I can say that we're in pretty good standing, just shy of a sheer prediction.
Okay. Is there any way you would also extend some prayers my way, like you did with the last caller for this job? Because I would really
like
absolutely.
It. Absolutely. That goes in my brain as I'm that goes always in my brain. Sometimes I increase it because I think someone really needs help. But that's
yeah.
always in my wheels there. So, and Kristen and I, we work together with people that we've spoken to. So we extend more of our time beyond the show in working with our clients or the people we deal with, all things like that. So we extend that energy and we both do that together as a team. So, yeah, we certainly will do that.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay, Naomi, thank you. And
okay,
for further discussion, 562-596-7818. Okay, who is our next? Private caller does not have their hand raised, but I'm going to bring them on anyway. Hello. And they are not speaking, so they apparently are just listening, as indicated by their non-raising of hands. All right. 518 is our next. Hello.
Hi, yes, my name is Melissa.
Oh, hi, Melissa.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Good.
And
Melissa is born on 10/28/70. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. What's your question?
I'm calling about my love life. What do you see happening?
In your love life, huh?
Yes.
And you're 25 years old. She's a 2010.
That's right.
What do I see in your love life? I see something in 2 months.
Okay.
And you know what's really weird about this image? It takes me back to an old image of the old days when they had the ice cream parlor and people go on dates to the ice cream parlor, you know, really back in time there a little bit, not where our typical dating situations are. But I'm seeing I'm going to take you to the ice cream parlor.
It's old-fashioned, kind of Norman Rockwell.
And we're going to drive, we'll get there on a bicycle built for two.
Oh.
That's what I'm seeing. Now, I don't know why I'm seeing that. It could be you're going to encounter somebody from a past life, and that past life might have been from anywhere from the 1890s to the 1930s, 40s, in there. So there's going to be that symbol from a past life that's going to be involved in the conversation. It just may come out. It may be something rather strange. I don't know if you have any interest in that area in this lifetime, but it certainly comes from a past life. What's that?
Yes, I do.
You do? In what form?
Well, I do agree, you know, in past lives and, you know, when you meet somebody, you feel like you have a connection, they're familiar with you somehow, but you can't place your finger on it.
Yeah. Do you have any interest in that time zone between the 1890s and 1940s? It's a big space. A lot of things, different things happened then, but music, movies, history, anything?
Mostly history. I'm fascinated with that time frame.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to kind of think about it. Talk to the angels, the guides about it, you know, in your conscious verbal exchange with whoever you talk to out there. And we're going to get somebody coming in that I think would maybe in 2 months.
Okay.
Okay.
Like a name or initial or
No. The past life name was Henry. That's past life. In this lifetime, Henrys aren't really Henry Harold. They aren't really that as common. But if you do know, or you ever did know a Henry or a Harold, that would be somewhat intriguing. But you don't need to in this lifetime know that name. It's from a past life.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, Melissa. Good luck. Okay, Neil. Let's bring on 305. It's Deanna. Hi, Deanna.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Well, still in shock by the news that you shared earlier about the woman from Atlanta. Not watching TV, I had no idea, and I was just reading about it. What a...
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah, I didn't see it on TV, actually. I saw it, you know, on the, I think, I don't know where, a news site that I read.
Wow.
But anyway... Yeah, it's shocking when those kinds of things happen.
Definitely.
I mean,
and
when
the guy turned
time,
himself in.
Certain events. I'm sorry?
And the guy turned himself in to the police.
Yeah.
Just shocking. Yeah. Well, I don't know about questions. I think my health is getting a little better over the past 3-4 days. And I was wondering if work will open up, because I definitely need to start working.
What will open up to help?
A job. You're looking for work, right?
Right. You know, my health has improved over the past week, over the last 4 days, a little more maybe. I think I'm out of danger, at least. I'm not... worried about it right now. But
in mid-February, there might be an opportunity that may come up, Yana, in mid-February. Now, you got to, you know, you got to do some footwork, and that's your part to start to connect to different opportunities. But in mid-February, you're going to have your first immediate chance at getting work. Yeah. It will just come up. It may be a temporary job, but it might, you know, it might lead into other jobs from there. But mid-February is what I'm getting right now. Now, that's the first opportunity for something.
Thank you, Neil.
Yeah.
Is that it?
And that's pretty much it. I'm just a little bit shocked reading about that, so I don't think I have very many words in my heart right now.
Yeah, terrible situation.
Tragedy happens all the time, of course, but sometimes certain events hit us more.
I don't want to
have more impact on us
or anything, but there are ways to produce in your energy field of protection. And I don't want to sound like an elitist in terms of energy, but and that's not to say that myself or anybody else isn't prone to danger at any given time. But we can become more conscious of our energy field, not only through a common sense, but through the energy field that we produce around us and our energy field. There is a way of reinforcing that with energy through visual exercises, third eye exercises, things like that. When you're aware of your etheric realm, then you're aware of keeping energy at bay. At least it's a start to protection.
Right.
But people should become more aware of that.
It would be nice to have her birthday. I know she was probably, unless she was born in January prior to her death, her birthday would have been in 1976. I mean, the year we have.
We do have the year.
Well, if she was 39 years old, it would have been 76, turning 40 this year, unless she turned 39 in the first 3 weeks of January, which I don't know.
Yeah, 76 wouldn't indicate anything immediate regarding that, but she might have a 1 or a 0 in her month or day. Or her master number that might amount to something like this.
Yeah, it would be interesting to get her birthday. And like I said, if there's an obituary that's published, usually, not all the time, usually the birth date is included in that information. But at this time, I don't have anything. You know, she does have a Facebook, but there's nothing showing a birth date.
You
got
to be careful. You know, brutal acts, sexual assaults that lead to murder, these are energies that are often, there's a correlation sometimes, karmically speaking, between the assault and the victim. And I just think that as we broaden our awareness about what numbers are and birth dates, we can broaden our awareness about our environment, about certain energies. But that's not to say that that's the only reason. I mean, this is a tragedy, but still, it's beneficial to become, the more aware we are of energy fields, the more aware we are of our own immediate environment at any given time, no matter where we are. We can never really assume that safety is just something that's always going to be around us. This was in broad daylight. And so it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes the antithesis of logic is that it's going to be illogical. It's going to seem like it couldn't happen. So I think that we also have to be very aware of our immediate environment, and what better ways to do that than through the third eye.
Right. And we're hypervigilant. We really are. I mean, yeah. I wasn't as careful as I am now that you're in my life in terms of environment, in terms of, you know, what areas I might venture into. We're much more.
Well, you know, it's a constant. I mean, but you know, you have to live your life. You have to be bold, take chances, take risks. You can't always just assume that, you know, you have to live by a certain rigid standard. But absolutely, being aware and also knowing that we're all vulnerable to attack at any given time, it's just common sense.
Okay, Neil. Well, I think we'll wrap up. We don't have any more callers. We had some people drop. So we are back on the air on Friday at 10 a.m. as usual, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time. And we hope to hear from you all then. Thanks. Bye-bye.